Why should Christians be concerned about the Equality Act? Well, that's a very important question, and we're going to talk about that right now with Abraham Hamilton III of the American Family Association. And he does a radio show there. He is a policy advisor and writes for them. And it's great to have him on this program on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Abraham, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for having me back. It's my pleasure for sure.
Sure. And let's begin with the title. It's almost a tip-off when liberals come up with some sort of law that whatever they're advocating in the title of the law is almost maybe the opposite of what they really want. Is the Equality Act, is that something that would promote genuine equality in America?
No. In your observation about the title being the antithesis of the actual text of legislation is so spot on, very similar to the quote on For the People Act, H.R. 1, and this Equality Act is really not about equality for all Americans. It's actually creating inequality and providing super rights for a particular sect of people in Americans based on perception or their sexual behavior, frankly.
Okay, what would actually happen if the Equality Act became law? And by the way, it's been passed by the House, but it has not yet been passed by the Senate nor signed into law. But if it did appear on, you know, President Biden's desk, he would definitely sign it. He's in favor of it. So what does it actually mean, and why is it of concern to Christians?
Yeah, but just to boil it down to the meat of the matter, it seeks to add protective class status across the entire scope of American civil rights law, to add protective class status on the basis of gender identity, actual perceived gender identity, and sexual orientation. And the practical implication from that is that it directly contradicts and even eviscerates religious liberty rights and freedom of conscience protections in the United States of America. A particular provision of the law expressly rescinds the religious RFRA and the Defense of Marriage Act, quite frankly. So what it seeks to do basically is to make it illegal for people to live according to their deeply held convictions in the truth of the Scripture's teaching on biblical orthodoxy concerning identity and sexuality.
Okay, what does it mean in terms of, say, the transgender agenda?
Yeah, it would codify the transgender agenda. So if you had, for example, another situation like Jack Phillips, who was invited to create a custom piece of wedding cake for a same-sex wedding ceremony, and based on his convictions that the Bible's teaching on marriage is what he believes, should this pass, he would not be able to live out his biblical convictions in the practice of his business. So you would literally have the government compelling Jack Phillips in that circumstance to endorse speech that violates his religious beliefs. There would be no more room for Jack Phillips to object to that, as the same would apply to photographers, invitation designers, you name it, particularly in that arena, but it also has implications for Christian schools, colleges, universities, you name it. The reality is it would be open season from the government on people of faith who actually embrace and live by and stand by the biblical orthodox teaching on identity and sexuality.
You know, you said in an interview for D. James Kennedy Ministries that the Equality Act is mutually exclusive. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily the phrase you used. Actually, here's the phrase you used. Picture two trains on the same track, and they're literally heading toward each other. They're just not there yet. And that's the way you see the Equality Act with, you know, practical Christian living in America.
Yeah, it's true that it's two trains on the same tracks heading in opposite directions on a collision course. Every advancement of what I describe as the LGBTQIAP plus political agenda, it comes at the expense of religious liberty. There really is no way to advance this agenda without contracting religious freedom in our country, minimizing that and reducing it. And it's, as you said, Mr. Biden has already said he supports this legislation, should it make it to his desk, he will sign it. And should that occur, you will see the United States of America become like other nations around the world, like in Sweden and other places, where preaching or reading from Romans 1 on national airwaves is illegal. You know, and we would see those types of things begin to happen in our country, all under the guise of equality and freedom for all. You would have the subjugation and the elimination of freedom for people who believe the Bible and endeavor to live according to it.
It's an amazing thing. It's funny, too, because the polls that I read from the American people seem to, on the one hand, they seem to say, you know, let gays be gays and you know, don't harass them, you know, from the government, nor should any of us, you know, advocate that on the one hand. But on the other hand, they also see that there should be religious freedom and people should be tolerated. Here's an analogy that I've always has helped me to understand the issues, like the cake maker who says, okay, I can sell cakes to anybody, including gay people, but I'm not going to put my artistry into, you know, my sweat and blood and so forth into making a beautiful cake to celebrate something that I believe God says is wrong. Okay, here's an analogy. This analogy is so powerful to me. What if you had an African-American printer and a representative of the Ku Klux Klan came and said, look, we're going to have a rally on such and such a date, and I demand that you print up my flyer and poster for this this Klan rally.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's pretty hard to believe.
That analogy is spot on, and that's exactly the issue presented in Jack Phillips' case, and the issue in a more broad sense with religious liberty. In that instance, that it's obvious that the African-American printer cannot be compelled to utter speech, and let's be clear, it'll be government compulsion of the utterance of speech that he expressly and vehemently disagrees with. The same is true with the case of Jack Phillips. One of the things that conveniently goes missing from the conversation is that Jack Phillips, prior to the issue with the same-sex marriage wedding cake that he declined the invitation to design, he'd also previously designed invitations to make cakes to celebrate divorce. He'd also declined invitations to make cakes to bash or to demonize homosexual people. You know, he's refused to make Halloween cakes. He's refused to make a number of different cakes. But the media conveniently leaves those parts, those factual occurrences, out of their conversation to simply try to paint Jack Phillips out as if he is a hostile person simply because of these people's sexual practices, that he loathes them, and that's not the case at all. And the reality is, in a more broad sense, the American people, by and large, nobody is would support the idea of harassing or subjugating or demonizing people who do engage in a homosexual lifestyle for whatever reason. But at the same time, the First Amendment stands for something, you know, and people like myself who believe what the Bible teaches about identity and sexuality, we should not be compelled by our government to embrace speech and to engage in celebration of things that directly contradict what the Scripture teaches.
If the Equality Act became law, would that have an impact on women's sports?
Absolutely. It would have an impact. It would be an expansion of, I know you're aware of this, it would be an expansion of the reasoning from the Bostic opinion that Justice Neil Gorsuch penned, that expressly on the terms of the opinion apply exclusively to the employment context. Well, should the Equality Act pass, it would be expanding that rationale to the entire scope of civil rights legislation. So then Title IX comes into play, where you have women's sports on the college campuses. And so the government's position would be, because discrimination on the basis of sex would now be prohibited, then you would have to allow men who are men through and through, where every cell in their body identifies them as male, because of what they believe about themselves, they would then be forced by the government to be allowed to participate in women's sports. And so what we would effectively have is the elimination of women's sports, which, as you know, Title IX, a part of its purpose was to create an opportunity for women to play sports in a similar fashion to men, albeit not having to compete against men in their sport. Well, the Equality Act's passage would then open the door for women to have to compete against men who are every cell of their body declares them to be men in their same sport.
Yeah, and it's so unfair. I saw this video from the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is co-laborer, and they're fighting in courts and so forth. But one of the things they're doing is they're fighting on behalf of some girls who are being denied opportunities in Connecticut because basically it's hard for them, despite all the practice they've done virtually all their lives, to try and get these scholarships for track and field and things like that. They're being denied because they're competing against boys, and no matter how hard they try, they can't seem to win against the boys. Oh, and by the way, those same boys, before they quote-unquote related as girls, they didn't compete as well against men in track and field. But now they're winning handily. But this almost seems like a joke, but what's at stake are scholarships and futures and, livelihood and, whatever. I mean, it's incredible. It's like closing the door on progress in America in the name of this strange, transgender agenda.
Yeah, and to bring it back to what you started off the interview with, it's using a false description about the law to do the exact opposite in application than what they're declaring the law is. It's the Inequality Act is what it is. It is institutionalizing inequality. The point you raise is spot on about the young girls in Connecticut who were running track prior to these boys competing as girls. They weren't even in the top 150 athletes. But when they identify themselves as girls, they dominate, set new state records, dominate the women's sports. And Senator Tom Cotton recently in Congress even made the observation that the fastest female sprinter in the history of the World Olympics is Florence Griffith Joyner, whose records still stand in the sprinting events today. Well, just last year you had 76 high school boys, not men, high school boys who ran faster than FloJo. That is a sobering thing to consider, that there has not yet been a woman in the entire world faster than FloJo, but just last year we had 76 boys who were faster than her. It speaks to the biological distinctions that God made men and women with.
Yeah, it's so funny. I remember there's a spate of these liberal signs that you see from time to time on people's lawns, and it's a whole litany of things, presumably against Trump and against the conservatives, and it says something, like love will win, which is great. Love will win, indeed. But it says science is real. Well, who is the real science denier? I'm serious. I mean, the other side is the one denying science. In this example of, XY chromosomes, I mean, it's God made us. Oh, but the Bible even says it, God made us as male and female, and science proves this. But, when it's inconvenient to them, they don't want to really hear what science has to say.
Yeah, it reveals that the real science deniers are those who only refer to science if it advances their narratives. But if science contradicts their narrative, not only do they no longer want to advance science, but then science itself becomes an enemy and a means of oppression, which really, really reveals that there are some very unserious people making these assertions that the true evidence of science denial is if you literally deny the biological distinctive reality between men and women. It's just insane. I have a very difficult time taking anyone serious about science who would then simultaneously tell me that there are 153 genders. I'm sorry, that does not compute. That does not compute. And unfortunately, that type of thinking has penetrated our culture, and with this Equality Act, it's grab a hold of a significant swath of our elected officials in Congress.
We have 45 seconds left. Would the Equality Act, so-called, impact the abortion debate in any way?
Yeah, it has the capacity to impact the abortion debate on a number of fronts. One of the major things that are happening now, a lot of people not be aware of this, but one of the largest providers of cross-sex hormones to minors today is Planned Parenthood. The same entity that receives $500 million annually in taxpayer funding, they're now using some of that robust funding to transition young people with cross-sex hormones, and that definitely will have a continued effect on the abortion debate, not least of which will be that because they're operating in this capacity, some will begin to see them as a necessary outfit to aid this transgender ideology that's permeating in our culture.
Wow. AFA.net for more information. Abraham Hamilton III, thank you so much for joining us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, my man.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.